past 3 years, each night, there were 6,000 youth homeless in Minnesota ages 10 to 24. COVID has drastically increased that number and decreased the number of shelter options. Many homeless youth fill emergency rooms with frostbite or worse. This is Glory, and I'm proud to partner with Cheryl and Jim again for the Homeless Youth Winter Wear Drive. This year, the Cheryl Reeve Show will be virtual with special guest Janice Shortle and other surprises. You can join us. One ticket will also include a Cheryl Reeve Show t-shirt and help us keep Twin Cities homeless youth warm. Get your ticket or make a donation at givemn.org/WWD. Special thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota and U.S. Bank.
We have some WNBA news. We have some scheduling information for you. We're also going to tell you about our annual Winter Wear Drive, actually Glory Ramsey's annual Winter Wear Drive, and the special show we'll be doing next Tuesday. This is the Cheryl Reeve Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton, who holds all this together. Best way to listen to the show, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Check out TalkNorth.com for all of our outdoor and hockey and other content and our other basketball show, John Krasinski on the Timberwolves in the NBA. Follow us on TalkNorthPod at Twitter to see the release of all the shows. And if you'd like to advertise with us, you can reach Karen Cleary, K-C-L-E-A-R-Y, at TalkNorth.com. You can join Glory Ramsey of Successful Marketing Group and Cara Quinn, your Vibe MN Realtor, as sponsors of this program or across our growing platform. We keep adding shows and listeners, and we appreciate everyone who does listen. All right, Cheryl, so it sounds like, is it official yet, or is it just speculation that Friday we might have the WNBA draft lottery?
Well, that's the plan. You know, okay. I think that's the hard part right now is, obviously, life is a fluid situation, but I would think that it's probably set to go at this point.
Cool. Well, that would be fun. It'd be nice to have some actual live news out of your league right now. And, the WNBA, the NBA, even the NHL, so many leagues, so many teams handled the pandemic really well this summer, went into bubbles, sacrificed time with, family members to get it done. And everybody kind of pitched in. What's your feeling of what the upcoming WNBA season might feel like? First of all, do we have certainty on when it's going to start? And is there confidence that you all can find a way to get through a season, even if you're not in a bubble?
Yeah, that's pretty loaded.
I know.
Unfortunately, well, I'll say this. There is nothing for certain at this point. Unfortunately, as we went into the offseason, we went right back to the mode of scenario planning. And, there's four or five different scenarios that they have to work through based on what's happening. It's a little bit discouraging that we are where we are, in terms of, the number of cases of COVID and obviously we just never got it under control. I think people, feel like, with vaccine just around the corner, there's hope for all of us, not just sports leagues, to kind of get back to, whatever we saw as normal, before. So we're kind of just, monitoring things. I would say Kathy Engelbert, this is her life, kind of monitoring, the pandemic and the medical side of things. But absolutely, I'm really confident, in whatever scenario it would be. I think we showed, this past summer, how it's done, both the NBA, the WNBA, were exceptional, and the players, you don't pull it off without the players' support and mm-hmm. how they handle things. So, obviously so much credit goes to them. But I've said this repeatedly that, Kathy clearly spent a lot of her time, with the medical experts, and she compromised nothing when it came to that. It was very serious. And like I said, we were all very committed because we all wanted to be safe and we all wanted to play basketball. And so, if you look around, there's not a lot of sports that are pulling it off, the way that we were able to. And you look overseas, Kent Youngblood did a story about this, just in terms of, the impact of COVID on our players abroad. There's, cancellations of games. And, right now, unless you're in a bubble, it's going to be difficult for you to pull this off, without, putting other people at risk. And, I'm hopeful that, by the time we get to 2021, you know, not, I'm not hopeful. I'm sure, you know, there's some light at the end of the tunnel, and what our season looks like, I don't know. But the further we get from, you know, the pandemic, obviously it'll be easier. You know, we got to get fans back. I know our fans are chomping at the bit, you know, to get back out there and be the great fans that they are. And hopefully we'll be able to get that in 2021.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. And you know, you listen to Fauci, you listen to all the true experts, and they're both fearful of what the next couple of months is going to bring and hopeful that the vaccine could actually be on the market fairly soon and actually make a difference fairly soon. So mixed bag, but I'm certainly hoping that your season, you know, can be, I'm hoping by the time you're ready to play, America is ready to have you safely play. You know, I'm
exactly.
I think we can get there. I'm still crossing my fingers. Hope that's enough. You know,
well, I'm hoping Fauci is wrong. I haven't said that very much.
Right.
I'm hoping he's wrong.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
There's not any reason to believe that he is.
Exactly. So while you're in a little bit of limbo, and it's going to be cool to be able to talk to you about draft possibilities. Your last couple of drafts have been fascinating. Your drafts since you became general manager have been fascinating. The value you've been able to get out of them and the way they've affected your team. Also have Lindsey Whalen starting up. We're recording this on Tuesday morning. Lindsey Whalen's team, the University of Minnesota, starts on Wednesday. Have you talked to her lately? Any sense of what kind of a squad she might have? I know for her first game, she might only have 7 healthy, eligible players, but let's hope that gets better as the year goes on.
Yeah, I think that's her biggest challenge right now, you know, is just navigating that. But Lindsey's really excited about her team. And we've been in touch. We did a call together the other day, so we actually get to see each other. But yeah, we've talked about her team and how, you know, some of the returning players look. You know, and just obviously the new player, she's very excited. And, you know, I think the hard part is just consistency on the court. I think they were trying to have a scrimmage this past weekend, just inter squad and I mean, it's the hardest thing when you're excited about your team and you think if you're pretty darn good and you can't be on the court together to see it all, come to fruition.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Sarah Fuller, about the White House communication staff, a little more about your team. Well, I do really want to promote this, though. This is really important. Gloria Ramsey, who's been a longtime sponsor of this program, she runs SuccessfulMarketingGroup.com. So, of course, if you need marketing help, especially if you're a smaller or medium-sized business, she's ideal. You know, be dealing with layers of bureaucracy. You'll be dealing with somebody who gives you hands-on help, knows how to help find customers for you. But this time of the year, she runs the Homeless Youth Winter Wear Drive fundraiser. And Cheryl and I have, you know, did a show, the two of us, with a bunch of, you know, gracious guests from the Lynx organization a couple of years ago. Last year, I think it was Jana Shortle and Cheryl who did the show. This year, you get all of us. I will try to MC best I can. Jana's going to join the show as soon as she can. We're planning for 7 o'clock December 8th. That's next Tuesday, 7 o'clock December the 8th. Then this is going to be our first attempt at a live show during the pandemic, I believe. We're hoping everything will run as well as possible. You can, you know, whether or not how much of the show you listen to, whatever else, you can go right now if you want to givemn.org/WWD. givemn.org/WWD. You can donate there. We will give you more information about ways you can help out during the show next Tuesday. We'll do about an hour show. And Cheryl's lining up some guests, I understand. And after the hour show, we'll do an attendee-only Q&A for 20 minutes or so. We'll keep promoting this on Twitter and across our Talk North platform. We've already had some great luck, and this is all due to Glory. She got U.S. Banks to step up as a presenting sponsor with a very large donation. I believe Cheryl designed some cool T-shirts that say the Cheryl Reeve Show on them. So we're going to be doing all kinds of cool stuff. Am I missing anything that you know about Cheryl? I want to make sure I get everything out there.
Well, I think you did a great job, although I'm not in the T-shirt design.
Somebody business. Gave you credit for that on our Twitter feed or our email string. Somebody was giving you credit for that.
I had some input.
Okay,
you know,
good
whether,
enough.
Yeah. But anyway, but no, this is just so exciting. And I just can't say enough. I mean, as you've talked about, Gloria Ramsey at Successful Marketing has long been a great partner of the show. But this is really meaningful work, and the amount of time that Glory puts into this, is really incredible. And I'm just happy that, you know, that she's chosen us to, you know, help to amplify the great cause. As you can imagine, you know, during a pandemic, the impact on homeless youth, there's even a greater need here in Minnesota. And so I'd really, really like to see us all, you know, anybody that can participate in this. You know, Gloria's, like I said, worked hard, put a package together. We're going to put a great show on. We'll get some great guests and just, you know, be able to hang out together a little bit. A lot of people we haven't seen in a while, we'll be able to get to see virtually and then obviously contribute to a tremendous cause.
Yeah. And thanks to Brandon for putting all this together. And again, yeah, you said it all. Thanks to Gloria. It's a great cause. Let's raise some money. Let's find a way to do, you know, give whatever donations you're capable of giving. It is a great cause and we'll continue to update you. But just plan on, you know, next Tuesday night, December 8th, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock or so, Jana, Cheryl, some special guests, and I promise to stay out of the way as much as possible and just let all these smart people talk to you. So thanks again to Glory. All right. So you were a guest professor in a recent day here, weren't you? You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, this is, you know, this is kind of a new way, I think, to, you know, to be able to connect with, you know, people that aren't necessarily local. And David Berry is we sort of connected around his story writing about the WNBA. He's a sports economics professor out in Southern Utah. And he, as I told him and I told the class, he was, I thought, really responsible for really educating players about their economic power and about what he saw sort of going on with the WNBA. And he challenged, you know, the NBA around some of the narrative that they would continually try to promote, which was the number one thing was the NBA. Anytime they would comment about the WNBA, they made sure they said that the league lost, $12 million. That was a narrative. And so he really just wildly supportive of sports leagues in general, but the idea of how women's sports leagues are treated and how much better we need to do with regard to the economics of it. And in the beginning, you know, he's really good historically, really, really good. And, you know, he talked a lot about, you know, how men's sports leagues, he looked up a quote. There was a quote in the beginning of the NBA where the owners were not concerned with profits. They were only concerned with winning and losing. They were not concerned, you know, with the money portion of it. And just, boy, that would be great if that was the NBA's mentality today with regard to either the G League, the WNBA, the esports. Yeah, it's an investment mindset. And so, you know, just the discrepancy. So he's very good about, you know, amplifying those messages. And then the other thing is he's a champion of some analytics. He's got a book. He writes about wins produced. And that's actually how we connected. I love, you know, kind of picking the brains of people that, you know, spend so much time on this, so much research on it. There's not one magical analytic model, but he is somebody that will dump a lot of data and research into college basketball. And so I've leaned on him there. As you know, we have our in-house resident, Paul Swanson. His analytic models, and I like to put them all in a pot. So I love information, and David is tremendous at supplying information. And then he said, "Hey, what do you think about coming to visit? Coming meaning jump on virtually." And I said, "Absolutely." Talk with his class. So they had to sit through 50 minutes of David and I talking about the WNBA and the economics of it, the growth of it, and just the differences of WNBA, college, NBA, that sort of thing. So hopefully they enjoyed the 50 minutes that we spent together.
Well, not only is David right about everything, but it's also just really fascinating. It's fascinating to look at the growth of sports leagues, how you get to where you are. And, you know, look at the Timberwolves. I mean, they become an expansion franchise. Glenn Taylor eventually kind of saves them for Minnesota. And I can't remember what his purchase price was. It was $80 million, something like that, you know, $90 million. And, you know, I'm sure he's had years where he has technically lost money on operating revenues, right?
I'm sure of that as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
And you know, here's some myth. I'm gonna let you keep going, but here's a myth on that. Profitability is not something that's very common in men's sports, right? It's valuation right? So we know that the company is valuation. But I, you know, all the franchises, NBA franchises I was affiliated with, they would lose, you know, 20, 25 million a year. And so that's what people don't realize. I spent some time with Rick Spielman over at, you know, when we were walking through the Vikings' new facility, and, you know, revenues are high, right? But the expenses are even higher. And so profitability isn't something that's achieved very often, including in college sports. And there's only a handful, you know, the big Ohio States, and I don't even know which you know, colleges, universities they are. But that's one of the biggest myths, is that men's sports is profitable. It's not. It's obviously the valuation, which matters. But we actually are profitable, WNBA franchise. We haven't been, let's say, over the last, 5 years. You know, we always said in the WNBA, you know, you make a penny, you're thrilled, right? So that you're not, you know, we were, you know, the early years, we were trying to get our losses down, you know, down to a million. But it's just so fascinating that if we lose a buck, you know, it's the women's sports loses money. You know, let's be real here. 20, 25 million a year on a lot of these men's sports. Okay, go, Jim. Hopefully you
get you're absolutely right. And I will continue with that theme here in a second. Then we're going to talk about Sarah Fuller, a couple other things. This is actually probably going to end up being a long show because there's so many things I want to get to. And everybody will be relieved to hear Jana and Cheryl talking next week. I want to thank Cara Quinn, C-A-R-A-Q-U-I-N-N. She's been with us a long time as well. She is now working at VibeMN.com, Vibe Realty, based out of St. Paul. Of course, Cara is a longtime Minneapolis resident. She lives in the Tangletown neighborhood. Better when the weather is better, she loves driving around in her Fiat with her Great Dane in the back. She is a true member of this community and a strong member of the community. And she's the kind of person you want to work with if you want to, if you need to sell or buy a house. You want somebody who knows the area, who has an appreciation for architecture, appreciation for all the great neighborhoods around the Twin Cities, and can do well by you, and somebody you can trust. And we trust her implicitly. You know, she loves working closely with buyers and sellers to help them realize their goals. Her clients know they have an advocate in their corner, paying attention to every detail from the first phone call to closing. Cara prides herself in ensuring each client has a positive and successful real estate transaction. And again, she's just a great person. She's somebody you want to work with. She's someone I hope to work with when it's time for us to move. Check her out. Go to vibemn.com to see Cara, or just Google Cara Quinn. You'll see all kinds of different places to check out her work. And that's the thing. You're talking about sports. You know, so many teams claim, I mean, I for the Twins, for so many years, they tell me, oh, we lost so much money last year. But, you know, Carl Pollard bought the team for like $50 million, and he's now, and the Twins are probably worth $2 billion now. And they have a partially publicly funded stadium. And you know, it's been a great thing for the Pollard name. And, you know, Glenn Taylor bought, I don't know, again, I can't remember the exact purchase price, but it was well short of $100 million. He's going to sell for $1.4 billion. I mean, and, you know, so it's not just about yearly operating balance sheets. It isn't in men, so I don't know why it would be in women's.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on to Sarah Fuller. What did you think of Sarah Fuller becoming first Power 5 conference female football player?
Pretty exciting, right? I think we kind of, you know, I feel like we saw that, you know, kind of gaining some momentum. I don't know. I haven't followed that real closely, but I feel like who was the soccer player, the women's soccer player that God, was she going to kick for the Eagles maybe? But that seemed to be kind of brewing, that possibility. Sorry, my dog's in the background.
It's okay. We can handle it.
you know, just really exciting, making history. It just feels like, yep, there's another one. Yep, you know, meaning, you know, another opportunity for women. You know, I don't know how I feel about women playing men's sports or men playing women's sports. And, you know, I don't know about all that. That's kind of a whole nother, I guess maybe element to this. But, you know, opportunity, opportunity is tremendous. And obviously, you know, whether it's right or wrong, it's we're, you know, we're always kind of compared to the men. And, you know, it's like, well, can you do this with men? Can you play with men? If you can, then we can validate you as an athlete. So that's kind of interesting. So yeah, just history making and was really fun to pay attention to.
Well, I thought the most interesting aspect of the whole story, but she didn't get to do much in the game. I think she had one kickoff. I think the most interesting aspect of the whole story was the fact that it's a bad program. They just fired their coach, and Sarah Fuller walks in there as a, you know, the first Power Five women's football player. And she said she had to rally the troops. She said they're all like sitting around, and she started basically, you know, trying to pump up a team saying, you know, this is not the way we do it in sports. You know, we actually cheer each other on. We're competitive. As she had to give the pep talk for this team right before they fired their coach. I thought that was fascinating. I mean, think about the guts. You know, she wasn't looking at this as some symbolic thing where she's just grateful to be in the room. She was saying, hey, we can do better than this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised at that at all. You know, for someone to, you know, women are great leaders. And I think we have an understanding of, you know, collaboration and, you know, the teamwork aspect of it. But you have to be, you know, you got to have a certain, certain inside you, you know, competitive drive, you know, for someone like Sarah. I would love to be around Sarah, to be taking on kind of the football world. You know, it got to be something special in her. And so I am not surprised to hear that, you know, that she was able to lead in that way. And most women, when you get these opportunities, you know, we talked about Kim Ng, that you're not thinking about, you know, the historic nature of it. She's a football player. You know, she's a kicker type of thing. You know, like it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, more about what they want to do. They don't want the attention for being the first this or that. They just want to be great at their craft. So I would not be surprised at all that, you know, that's what her focus was.
The other interesting development this week, Cheryl, I thought was that Joe Biden named his White House communication staff and it was all women. And I once again, I'm just generally encouraged by the way at least some of our society is moving.
Women and diversified group of women, yeah. You know, women of color. This is what we should look like. This is what we're saying. It's, you know, when you diversify your leadership team, and that's, you know, obviously these are the highest offices in the land. This is even for corporations, you know, look around and look at your leadership team. Are you diversified? Because diversity of thought, is one of the most powerful things you can have. You know, that's a great weapon, so to speak, you can be wildly successful. And that's been proven, you know, companies that have done that. And so I'm just thrilled that Joe Biden, you know, is for real in terms of what I think how he's evolved through the years and what he's seeing and what our country needs. I'm thrilled and, you know, let's keep it going. And I think he'll be wildly successful because of it.
And I'll also say that the Star Tribune, you know, I've worked with so many good people there. It's a place I am proud to work and have worked. And I think we've had, you know, listen, no newspaper is perfect. We have our swings and misses. We screw up stuff. Sometimes we're behind the curve. It's just like most bureaucracies. We will never claim to be perfect. But we did name Kendall Harkness, longtime photo editor, our first editor for diversity and community. We had a Zoom meeting last week about it with all of our leaders, and basically it's our leadership saying, yeah, we're not as diverse. We've given lip service to diversity, we probably haven't done as well as we should have internally with all of that. And we're trying to make a difference now.
That's the most important thing, exactly what you just said. That's happening everywhere where obviously the wave we talked about, you know, not only in our country, but across the world and the protests. Now, this is the result of that, where we're standing up and people are kind of going, okay, I want to be better. What am I doing? What am I doing as a leader in my own company? And we are hearing so much about that. So, you know, great credit goes to the Star Tribune for looking around, understanding that, you know, and for, you know, people that are stepping up and kind of going, we've got to do better. We're not doing enough. kudos to them, but let's make sure that it's followed through. There's follow through. It's not just an idea that you're kind of interested in it right now, because that's what's happening. Let's make sure that we're committed to it. And there's the follow through, and we see real change. And I've said, sometimes when you go through dark moments, really, really difficult moments, it leads to, when you get to the other side, beautiful things like this, that we're seeing real change where change needs to happen. And it is about opportunity. And, you know, there are so many qualified people, you know, despite what the Wells Fargo CEO said, that he had a difficult time finding talent in people of color, which, you know, it's just like, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
But the world is changing, and hopefully the Wells Fargo CEO is changing as well.
Yeah, and Kendall's, you know, highly respected within our newspaper. She does a great job, and she's taking this on as a serious. She's not taking this as, you know, some kind of PR stunt. She's moving forward with this. She has real power to do that. And we also hired Myron Metcalf, longtime Minneapolis basketball writer, former Star Tribune employee, current ESPN employee. We've hired him to do some to do weekly Metro columns, and that's another good move in the right direction. Again, It's not the end of the road. It's not perfection, but, you know, I do feel like so many organizations, whether it's the new administration all the way down to your local newspaper, are trying at this point and making sincere efforts at this.
Well, like I said, this is how we're going to get there, making the world a better place. And I'm thrilled. I'm hearing so much of this, you know, people wanting to make, you know, real change. And like I said, we've got to make sure there's a commitment to it, and not just a, you know, kind of a token effort, because maybe that's what's in style right now. So, you know, hopefully, you know, a year from now, when we work on our whatever number show, that we're talking about how much it's evolved and how great it's been for the company.
So tune in next Tuesday. We would love to have you. It's a great cause. Let's take care of some people. Thanks to Cheryl, as always. Thanks to Brandon, as always. And we will be back next week to talk to you about, make sure I get the title right, the 2020 Homeless Youth Winter Wear Drive Fundraiser.
For the past 3 years, each night, there were 6,000 youth homeless in Minnesota, ages 10 to 24. COVID has drastically increased that number and decreased the number of shelter options. Many homeless youth fill emergency rooms with frostbite or worse. This is Glory, and I'm proud to partner with Cheryl and Jim again for the Homeless Youth Winter Wear Drive. This year, the Cheryl Reeve Show will be virtual, with special guest Janice Shortle and other surprises. You can join us. One ticket will also include a Cheryl Reeve Show t-shirt and help us keep Twin Cities homeless youth warm. Get your ticket or make a donation at givemn.org/WWD. Special thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota and U.S. Bank.